Hello. Before this episode of the history of the damnable life and deserved death of Dr. John Forster's, just a brief content warning. I'm not going to go into the details of the content warning here. Do go to the show description. But there are some deeply problematic attitudes being expressed here. We do not endorse them. You have, and I really do mean it, you have been warned. The history of the damnable life and deserved death of Dr. John Faustus. Read by Robert Crichton. Chapter 22. How Dr. Faustus made his journey through the principal and most famous lands in the world. Dr. Faustus, having overrun 15 years of his appointed time, he took upon him a journey, with full pretence to see the whole world. And calling his spirit Mephistopheles unto him, he said, "Thou knowest that thou art bound to me upon conditions, to perform and fulfil my desire in all things. Wherefore my pretence is to visit the whole face of the earth, visible and invisible, when it pleaseth me. Therefore I enjoin and command thee to the same." Whereupon Mephistopheles answered, "I am ready, my lord, at thy command." And forthwith the spirit changed himself into the likeness of a flying horse, saying, "Faustus, sit up, I am ready." Dr. Faustus loftily sat upon him, and forwards they went. Faustus came through many a land and province, as Pavonia, Austria, Germania, Bohemia, Silesia, Saxony, Meissen, During, Frankland, Schorblatt, Bialant, Styria, Carinthia, Poland, Litor, Lysand, Prussia, Denmark, Muscovia, Tartaria, Turkey, Persia, Cathay, Alexandria, Barbaria, Guinea, Peru, the Straits Magellans, India, all about the frozen zone, and Terra Incognita, Nova Hispaniola, the Isles of Tazaria, Madeira, St. Michael's, the Canaries, and the Tenerife Sea, into Spain, the mainland, Portugal, Italy, Campania, the Kingdom of Naples, the Isles of Sicilia, Malta, Majoris, Minoria, to the Knights of the Rhodes, Kandy or Crete, Cyprus, Corinth, Switzerland, France, Friesland, Westphalia, Zeeland, Holland, Brabant, and all the 17 provinces in Netherland, England, Scotland, Ireland, all America and Iceland, the Out Isles of Scotland, the Orcades, Norway, the Bishopric of Bream, and so home again. All these kingdoms, provinces, and countries he passed in 25 days, in which time he saw very little that delighted his mind. Wherefore he took little rest at home, and burning in desire to see more at large, and behold the secrets of each kingdom, he set forwards again on his journey upon his swift horse Mephistopheles, and came to Trent, for that he chiefly desired to see this town and the monuments thereof. There he saw not many wonders, except one fair palace that belonged unto the bishop, and also a mighty large castle that was built of brick, with 3 walls and 3 great trenches, so strong that it was impossible for any prince's power to win it. Then he saw a church wherein was buried Simeon and the bishop Popo. Their tombs are of most sumptuous marble stone, closed and joined together with great bars of iron, from whence he departed to Paris, where he liked well the academy. And what place or kingdom soever fell to his mind, the same he visited. He came from Paris to Mentz, where the river of Maine falls into the Rhine. Notwithstanding, he tarried not long there, but went into Campania, in the kingdom of Neapolis, in which he saw an innumerable sort of cloisters, nunneries, and churches, great and high houses of stone, the streets fair and large, and straight forth from one end of the town to the other as a line, and all the pavement of the city was of brick. And the more it rained in the town, the fairer the streets were. There he saw the tomb of Virgil, and the highway that he cut through the mighty hill of stone in one night, the whole length of an English mile. When he saw the number of galleys and argosies that lay there at the city head, the windmill that stood in the water, the castle in the water, and the houses above the water, where under-galleys might ride most safely from rain or wind, then he saw the castle on the hill over the town, and many monuments therein. Also that hill called Vesuvius, whereon groweth all the Greekish wine, and most pleasant sweet olives. From thence he came to Venice, whereas he wondered not a little to see a city so famously built standing in the sea, where through every street the water came into such largeness that great ships and barks might pass from one street to another, having yet away on both sides the water whereon men and horse might pass. He marvelled also how it was possible so much victual to be found in the town, and so good cheap, considering that for a whole league nothing grew near the same. He wondered not a little at the fairness of St. Mark's place, and the sumptuous church standing thereon called St. Mark, how all the pavement was set with coloured stones, and all the rood or loft of the church double gilded over. Leaving this, he came to Padua, beholding their manor of their academy, which is called the mother or nurse of Christendom. There he heard the doctors, and saw the most monuments in the town, entered his name in the University of the German Nation, and wrote himself Dr. Faustus, the unsatiable speculator. Then saw he the worthiest monument in the world for a church, named St. Anthony's Cloister, which for the pinnacles thereof, and the contrivement of the church, hath not the like in Christendom. This town is fenced about with three mighty walls of stone and earth, betwixt the which runneth goodly ditches of water. Twice every 24 hours passeth boats betwixt Padua and Venice with passengers, as they do here betwixt London and Gravesend, and even so far they differ in distance. Faustus beheld likewise the council house and the castle, with no small wonder. Well, forward he went to Rome, which lay, and doth yet lie, on the river Tibris, the which divideth the city into two parts. Over the river are four great stone bridges, and upon the one bridge, called Ponte San Angelo, is the castle of St. Angelo, wherein are so many great cast pieces as there are days in the year, and such pieces as will shoot 7 bullets off with one fire. And to this castle cometh a spring vault from the church and palace of St. Peter, through the which the Pope, if any danger be, passeth from his palace to the castle for safeguard. The city hath 11 gates, and a hill called Vaticinium, whereon St. Peter's church is built. In that church the Holy Fathers will hear no confession, without the penitent bring money in his hand. Adjoining to this church is the Campo Santo, the which Carolus Magnus built, where every day 13 pilgrims have their dinners served at the best, that is to say Christ and his 12 apostles. Hard by this he visited the churchyard of St. Peter's, where he saw the pyramids that Julius Caesar brought forth of Africa. It stood in Faustus's time leaning against the church wall of St. Peter's, but now Pope Sextus hath erected it in the middle of St. Peter's churchyard. It is 24 fathom long, and at the lower end 6 fathom, 4 square, and so forth smaller upwards. On the top is a crucifix of beaten gold. The stone standeth on 4 lines of brass. Then he visited the 7 churches of Rome, that were St. Peter's, St. Paul's, St. Sebastian's, St. John Lateran, St. Lawrence, St. Mary Magdalene, and St. Mary Majora. Then went he without the town, where he saw the conduits of water that run level through hill and dale, bringing water into the town 15 Italian miles off. Other monuments he saw too many to recite, but amongst the rest he was desirous to see the Pope's court, and his manner of service at his table. Wherefore he and his spirit made themselves invisible and came to the Pope's court and privy chamber, where he was. There saw he many servants attending on his holiness, with many a flattering sycophant carrying of his meat. And there he marked the Pope and the manner of his service, which he, seeing to be so unmeasurable and sumptuous, "Fie," quoth Faustus, "why, had not the devil made a pope of me?" Faustus saw there, notwithstanding, such as were like to himself, proud, stout, wilful, gluttons, drunkards, whoremongers, breaker of wedlock, and followers of all manner of ungodly exercises. Wherefore he said to his spirit, "I thought that I had been alone a hog or pork of the devil's, but he must bear with me yet a little longer, for these hogs of Rome are already fatted, and fitted to make his roast meat. The devil might do well now to spit them all, and to have them in the fire, and let him summon the nuns to turn the spits. For as none must confess the nun but the friar, so none should turn the roasting friar but the nun." Thus continued Faustus 3 days in the Pope's palace, and yet had no lust to his meat, but stood still in the Pope's chamber, and saw everything whatsoever it was. On a time the Pope would have a feast prepared for the Cardinal of Pavia, and for his first welcome the Cardinal was bidden to dinner, and as he sat at meat, the Pope would ever be blessing and crossing over his mouth. Faustus could suffer it no longer, but up with his fist and smote the Pope on his face. And withal he laughed, that the whole house might hear him, yet none of them saw him, nor knew where he was. The Pope persuaded his company that it was a damned soul, commanding mass presently to be said for his delivery out of purgatory, which was done. The Pope still sat at meat. But when the latter mess came into the Pope's board, Dr. Faustus laid hands thereon, saying, "This is mine." And so he took both dish and meat, and flew into the capital, or Campidoglia, calling his spirit unto him, and said, "Come, let us be merry, for thou must fetch me some wine, and the cup that the Pope drinks of, and here upon Monte Cavel we will make good cheer in spite of the Pope and all his fat abbey lovers." His spirit, hearing this, departed towards the Pope's chamber, where he found them yet sitting and quaffing. Wherefore he took from before the Pope the fairest piece of plate or drinking goblet, and a flagon of wine, and brought it to Faustus. But when the Pope and the rest of his crew perceived they were robbed, and knew not after what sort, they persuaded themselves that it was that damned soul that before had vexed the Pope so, and that smote him on the face. Wherefore he sent commandment through the whole city of Rome that they should say mass in every church, and ring all the bells for to lay the walking spirit, and to curse him with bell, book, and candle, that so invisibly had misused the Pope's holiness with the Cardinal of Pavia and the rest of their company. But Faustus, notwithstanding, made good cheer with that which he had beguiled the Pope of, and in the midst of the order of St. Bernard's barefooted friars, as they were going on procession through the marketplace called Campo de Fiore, he let fall his plate, dishes, and cup, and withal, for a farewell, he made such a thunderclap and storm of rain as though heaven and earth should have met together. And so left Rome and came to Milan in Italy, near the Alps or borders of Switzerland, where he praised much to his spirit the pleasures of the place, the city being founded in so brave a plain, by the which ran most pleasant rivers on every side of the same, having besides within the compass or circuit of 7 miles, 7 small seas. He saw also therein many fair palaces and goodly buildings, the Duke's palace, and the mighty strong castle, which is in manner half the bigness of the town. Moreover, it liked him well to see the hospital of St. Mary's with divers other things. He did there nothing worthy of memory, but he departed back again towards Bononia, and from thence to Florence, where he was well pleased to see the pleasant walk of merchants, the goodly vaults of the city, for that almost the whole city is vaulted, and the houses themselves are built outwardly in such sort that the people go under them as under a vault. Then he perused the sumptuous church in the Duke's castle called Nostradama, Our Lady's Church, in which he saw many monuments, as a marble door, most huge to look upon, the gates of the castle are bell metal, wherein are graven the holy patriarchs, with Christ and his 12 apostles, and divers other histories out of the Old and New Testament. Then went he to Siena, where he highly praised the church and hospital of Santa Maria Formosa, with the goodly buildings, and especially the fairness and greatness of the city, and beautiful women. Then came he to Lyon in France, where he marked the situation of the city, which lay between two hills, environed with two waters. One worthy monument in the city pleased him well, that was the great church with the image therein. He commended the city highly for the great resort that it had unto it of strangers. From thence he went to Cullin, which lieth upon the river of Rhine, wherein he saw one of the ancientest monuments of the world, the which was the tomb of three kings that came by the angel of God, and their knowledge that they had in the star to worship Christ. Which when Forster saw, he spake in this manner. Ah, alas, good men, how have you erred and lost your way? You should have gone to Palestina and Bethlehem in Judea. How came you hither? Or belike after your death you were thrown into Mare Mediterranean, about Tripolis in Syria, and so you fleeted out at the Straits of Gibraltara into the Ocean Sea, and so into the Bar of Portugal, and not finding any rest you were driven alongst the coast of Galicia, Biscay, and France, and into the narrow seas, then from thence into Mare Germanicum, and so taken up, I think, about the town of Dort in Holland, you were brought to Cullin to be buried. Or else I think you came more easily with a whirlwind over the Alps, and being thrown into the river of Rhine, it conveyed you to this place, where you are kept a monument. There he saw the church of St. Ursula, where remains a monument of the Thousand Virgins. It pleased him, also, to see the beauty of the women. Not far from Cullin lieth the town of Acha, where he saw the gorgeous temple that the Emperor Carolus Quartus built of marble stone for a remembrance of him, to the end that all his successors should there be crowned. From Cullin and Acha he went to Geneva, a city in Savoy lying near Switzerland. It is a town of great traffic. The lord thereof is a bishop, whose wine-cellar Faustus and his spirit visited for the love of his good wine. From thence he went to Strasbourg, where he beheld the fairest temple that ever he had seen in his life before, for on every side thereat he might see through it, even from the covering of the mister to the top of the pinnacle, and it is named one of the wonders of the world. Wherefore he demanded why it was called Strasbourg. His spirit answered, because it hath so many highways coming to it on every side. For Stros in Dutch is a highway, and hereof came the name. Yea, said Mephistopheles, the church which thou so wonderest at hath more revenues belonging to it than the 12 dukes of Silesia are worth, for there pertain unto this church 55 towns and 463 villages, besides many houses in the town. From thence went Faustus to Basel in Switzerland, where the river of Rhine runneth through the town, parting the same as the river of Thames doth London. In this town of Basel he saw many rich monuments, the town walled with brick, and round about it without it goeth a great trench. No church pleased him but the Jesuits' church, which was sumptuously builded, and set full of alabaster pillars. Faustus demanded of his spirit how it took the name of Basel. His spirit made answer and said, that before this city was found, there used a basilicus, a kind of serpent. This serpent killed as many men, women, and children as he took a sight of. But there was a knight that made himself a cover of crystal to come over his head, and so down to the ground, and being first covered with a black cloth, over that he put the crystal, and so boldly went to see the basilicus, and finding the place where she haunted, he expected her coming, even before the mouth of her cave, where, standing a while, the basilicus came forth, who, when she saw her own venomous shadow in the crystal, she split in 1,000 pieces. Wherefore the knight was richly rewarded of the emperor. After the which the knight founded this town upon the place where he had slain the serpent, and gave it the name of Basil, in remembrance of his deed. From Basil, Faustus went to Konstanz, in Schweiz, at the head of the Rhine, where is a most sumptuous bridge that goeth over the Rhine, even from the gates of the town unto the other side of the stream. At the head of the river of Rhine is so small a sea, called of the Switzers the Black Sea, 20,000 paces long, and 50 paces broad. The town Konstanz took the name of this. The emperor gave it to a clown, for expounding of his riddle. Wherefore the clown named the town Konstanz, that is, in English, cost nothing. From Konstanz he came to Ulm, where he saw the sumptuous townhouse, built by 250 of the ancient senators of the city. It took the name of Ulm, for that the whole land thereabout are full of elms. But Faustus, minding to depart from thence, his spirit said unto him, Faustus, think of the town as thou wilt. It hath 3 dukedoms belonging to it, the which they have bought with ready money. From Ulm he came unto Würzburg, the chiefest town in Frankland, wherein the bishop altogether keepeth his court, through the which town passeth the river of Main, that runs into the Rhine. There about groweth strong and pleasant wine, the which Faustus well proved. The castle standeth on a hill on the north side of the town, at the foot whereof runneth the river. This town is full of beggarly friars, nuns, priests, and Jesuits, for there are 5 sorts of begging friars, besides 3 cloisters of nuns. At the foot of the castle stands a church, in the which there is an altar, where are engraven all the 4 elements, and all the orders and degrees in heaven, that any man of understanding whatsoever that have a sight thereof may say, that it is the artificialist thing that ever he beheld. From thence he went to Nuremberg, whither, as he went by the way, his spirit informed him that the town was named of Claudius Tiberius, the son of Nero, the tyrant. In the town are 2 famous cathedral churches, the one called St. Sebald, the other St. Lawrence, in which church standeth all the relics of Carolus Magnus, that is to say, his cloak, his hose and doublet, his sword and crown, his sceptre and his apple. It hath a very glorious golden conduit in the marketplace of St. Lawrence, in which conduit is the spear that thrust our Saviour into the side, and a piece of the Holy Cross. The wall is called the Fair Wall of Nuremberg, and hath 528 streets, 160 wells, 4 great and 2 small clocks, 6 great gates and 2 small doors, 11 stone bridges, 12 small hills, 10 fair marketplaces, 13 common hothouses, 10 churches. Within the town are 30 wheels of watermills. It hath 132 tall ships, 2 mighty town walls of hewn stone and earth, with very deep trenches. The walls have 180 towers about them, and 4 fair platforms, 10 apothecaries, 10 doctors of the common law, 14 doctors of physic. From Nuremberg he went to Augsburg, where, at the break of the day, he demanded of his spirit, whereupon the town took his name. This town, quoth he, hath had many names. When it was first built, it was called Vindelicia. Secondly, it was called Caesarea, the Iron Bridge. Lastly, by the Emperor Octavius Augustus, it was called Augusta, and by the corruption of language, the Germans have named it Augsburg. Now, for because that Forsters had been there before, he departed without visiting their monuments to Ravensburg, where his spirit certified him that the city had seven names, the first Tiberia, the second Quadratus, the third Hiespalis, the fourth Regionopolis, the fifth Imbripolis, the sixth Ratisbona, the last Ravensburg. The situation of this city pleased Forster's well, also the strong and sumptuous buildings. By the walls thereof runneth the river Danubia, in Dutch called Donau, into the which, not far from the compass of the city, falleth near hand 70 other small rivers and fresh waters. Forster's also liked the sumptuous stone bridge over the same water, with the church standing thereon, the which was founded anno 1115, the name whereof is called St. Ramadean. In this town, Forsters went into the cellar of an innholder, and let out all the wine and beer that was in the cellar. After the which feat, he returned into Mainz in Bavaria, a right princely town. The town appeared as if it were new, with great streets therein both of breadth and length from Mainz to Seitberg, where the bishop is always resident. Here he saw all the commodities that were possible to be seen, for in that hill he saw the form of a bell made in crystal, an huge thing to look upon, that every year groweth bigger and bigger by reason of the freezing cold. From thence he went to Vienna in Austria. This town is of so great antiquity that it is not possible to find the like. In this town, said the spirit, is more wine than water, for all under the town are wells, the which are filled every year with wine, and all the water that they have runneth by the town, that is, the river Danubia. From thence he went into Prague, the chief city in Bohemia. This is divided into three parts, that is, Old Prague, New Prague, and Little Prague. Little Prague is the place where the Emperor's court is placed. Upon an exceeding high mountain there is a castle where are two fair churches. In the one he found a monument, which might well have been a mirror for himself. And that was the sepulchre of a notable conjurer, which by his magic had so enchanted his sepulchre that whosoever set foot thereon should be sure never to die in their beds. From this castle he came down and went over the bridge. This bridge hath 24 arches. In the middle of the bridge stands a very fair monument, being a cross builded of stone, and most artificially carved. From thence he came into the Old Prague, the which is separated from the New Prague with an exceeding deep ditch, and round about enclosed with a well of brick. Unto this is adjoining the Jews' town, wherein are 13,000 men, women, and children, all Jews. There he viewed the college and the garden, where all manner of savage beasts are kept, and from thence he set a compass round about the three towns, whereat he wondered greatly to see so mighty a city stand all within the walls. From Prague he flew in the air, and bethought himself what he might do or which way to take. So he looked round about, and behold, he espied a passing fair city, which lay not far from Prague, about some 24 miles, and that was Bressor in Silesia, in the which, when he was entered, it seemed to him that he had been in paradise, so neat and clean was the streets, and so sumptuous was their buildings. In the city he saw not many wonders, except the brazen virgin that standeth on a bridge over the water, and under the which standeth a mill like a powder mill, which virgin is made to do execution upon those disobedient town-born children that be so wild that their parents cannot bridle them, which, when any such are found with some heinous offence, turning to the shame of their parents and kindred, they are brought to kiss this virgin, which openeth her arm. The person then to be executed kisseth her, Then doth she close her arms together with such violence that she crusheth out the breath of the party, breaking his bulk, and so dieth. But being dead, she openeth her arms again and letteth the party fall into the mill, where he is stamped in small morsels, which the water carrieth away, so that no part of him is found again. From Bressor he went toward Cracona, in the kingdom of Polonia, where he beheld the academy, the which pleased him wonderful well. In this city the king most commonly holdeth his court at a castle, in which castle are many famous monuments. There is a most sumptuous church in the same, in which standeth a silver altar gilded, and set with rich stones, and over it is a conveyance full of all manner of silver ornaments belonging to the mass. In the church hangeth the jawbones of a huge dragon that kept the rock before the castle was edified thereon. It is full of all manner of munition, and hath always victual for 3 years to serve 2,000 men. Through the town runneth a river called the Vestule or Vissel, whereover is a fair wooden bridge. This water divideth the town and Casimir. In this Casimir dwelleth the Jews, being a small walled town by themselves, to the number of 25,000 men, women, and children. Within 1 mile of the town there is a salt mine, where they find stones of pure salt of 1,000 pound, 2,000 pound, or more in weight, and that in great quantity. This salt is as black as the Newcastle coals when it comes out of the mines, but being beaten to powder it is as white as snow, and the like they have 4 mile from thence in a town called Buchmar. From thence Faustus went to Sandetz. The captain thereof was called De Spiket Jordan. In this town are many monuments, as the tomb or sepulchre of Christ, in as ample manner as that is at Jerusalem, at the proper costs of a gentleman that went thrice to Jerusalem from that place and returned again. Not far from that town is a new town, wherein is a nunnery of the order of St. Diocletian, into which order may none come except they be gentlewomen and well-formed and fair to look upon, which pleased Faustus well. But having a will to travel further and to see more wonders, mounting up towards the east, over many lands and provinces, as into Hungaria, Transylvania, Shudder, Ingots, Sardinia, and so into Constantinople, where the Turkish emperor kept his court. This city was surnamed by Constantine the founder thereof, being builded of very fair stone. In the same, the great Turk hath 3 fair palaces. The walls are strong, the pinnacles are very huge, and the streets large. But this liked not Faustus that one man might have so many wives as he would. The sea runneth hard by the city. The wall hath 11 gates. Faustus abode there a certain time to see the manner of the Turkish emperor's service at his table, where he saw his royal service to be such that he thought, if all the Christian princes should banquet together, and every one adorn the feast to his uttermost, they were not able to compare with the Turk for his table, and the rest of his country's service. Wherefore it so spited Faustus that he vowed to be revenged on him, for his pomp he thought was more fit for himself. Wherefore, as the Turk sat at meat, Faustus showed him a little apish play, for round about the privy chamber he sent forth flashing flames of fire, insomuch that the whole company forsook their meat and fled, except only the great Turk himself. Him Faustus charmed in such sort that he could neither rise nor fall, nor could any man pull him up. With this was the hall so light as if the sun had shined in the house. Then came Faustus, in form of a pope, to the great Turk, saying, All hail, Emperor! Now art thou honoured that I so worthily appear unto thee as thy Mohammed was wont to do. Hereupon he vanished, and forthwith it thundered that the whole palace shook. The Turk greatly marvelled that this should be that so vexed him, and was persuaded by his chiefest counsellors that it was Mohammed, his prophet, which had so appeared unto them. Whereupon the Turk commanded them to fall down on their knees, and to give him thanks for doing them so great honour as to show himself unto them. But the next day Faustus went into the castle where he kept his wives and concubines, in the which castle might no man upon the pain of death come, except those that were appointed by the great Turk to do them service, and they were all gilded. Which, when Faustus perceived, he said to his spirit Mephistopheles, "How likest thou this sport? Are not these fair ladies greatly to be pitied, that thus consume their youth at the pleasure of one only man?" "Why," quoth the spirit, "mayst not thou, instead of the emperor, embrace his fair ladies? Do what thy heart desireth herein, and I will aid thee, and what thou wishest, thou shalt have it performed." Wherefore Faustus, being before his council apt enough to put such matters in practice, caused a great fog to be round about the castle, both within and without, and he himself appeared amongst the ladies in all points, as they used to paint their Mohammed. At which sight the ladies fell on their knees and worshipped him. Then Faustus took the fairest by the hand and led her into a chamber, where after his manner he fell to dalliance. And thus he continued a whole day and a night. And when he had delighted himself sufficiently with her, he put her away, and made his spirit bring him another. So likewise he kept with her 24 hours' play, causing his spirit to fetch him most dainty fare. And so he passed away 6 days, having each day his pleasure of a sundry lady, and that of the fairest. All which time the fog was so thick and so stinking that they within the house thought they had been in hell for the time, and they without wondered thereat, in such sort that they went to their prayers, calling on their god Mohammed, and worshipping of his image. Wherefore the sixth day Faustus exalted himself into the air, like to a pope, in the sight of the great Turk and his people. And he no sooner departed the castle, but the fog vanished away. Whence presently the Turk sent for his wives and concubines, demanding of them if they knew the cause why the castle was beset with a mist so long. They said that it was the god Mohammed himself that caused it, and how he was in the castle personally full 6 days. And for more certainty, he hath lain with 6 of us 6 nights one after another. The Turk, hearing this, fell upon his knees and gave Mohammed thanks, desiring him to forgive him for being offended with his visiting his castle and wives those 6 days. But the Turk commanded that those whom Mohammed had laid by should be most carefully looked unto, persuading himself, and so did all the whole people that knew of it, that out of them Mohammed should be raised a mighty generation. But first he demanded of the 6 ladies if Mohammed had not actual copulation with them, according as earthly men have. "Yea, my lord," quoth one, "as if you had been there yourself you could not have mended it, for he lay with us stark naked, kissed and called us, and so delighted me that for my part I would he came 2 or 3 times a week to serve me in such sort again." From whence Faustus went to Alkar, the which before times was called Charum, or Memphis. In this city the Egyptian Soldan holdeth his court. From thence the river Nilus hath his first head and spring. It is the greatest fresh-water river that is in the whole world, and always when the sun is in Cancer it overfloweth the whole land of Egypt. Then he returned again towards the northeast, and to the town of Offen and Sibata in Hungaria. This Offen is the chiefest city in Hungaria, and standeth in a fertile soil, wherein groweth most excellent wine, and not far from the town there is a well called Zipsar, the water whereof changeth iron into copper. There are mines of gold and silver, and all manner of metal. We Germans call this town often, but in the Hungarian speech it is Start. In the town standeth a very fair castle, and very well fortified. From thence he went to Austria, and through Silesia into Saxony, unto the towns of Magdeburg and Leipzig and Lübeck. Magdeburg is a bishopric. In this city is one of the pitchers wherein Christ changed the water into wine at Cana in Galilee. At Leipzig, nothing pleased Faustus so well as the great vessel in the castle made of wood, the which is bound about with 24 iron hoops, and every hoop weigheth 200-pound weight. You must go upon a ladder 30 steps high before you can look into it. He saw also the new churchyard, where it is walled, and standeth upon a fair plain. The yard is 200 paces long, and round about the side of the wall are goodly places, separated one from each other to see sepulchres in, which in the middle of the yard standeth very sumptuous. Therein standeth a pulpit of white work and gold. From hence he went to Lübeck and Hamburg, where he made no abode but away again to Erfurt in Thuringen, where he visited the Freskold. And from Erfold he went home to Wittenberg, when he had seen and visited many a strange place, being from home 1 year and a half, in which time he wrought more wonders than are here declared. You've been listening to The History of the Damnable Life and Deserved Death of Dr. John Faustus, read by Robert Crichton. There is more from Faustus on our Patreon, where there are exclusive exploring sessions where we take a deep dive into the text, and early access to other chapters of the book. There's also extensive work available on the play adaptation by Christopher Marlowe and other hands. Links are available in the show description.